And you're listening to 91.7 WSG, the Roundtable's Sunday edition. This is our Consider This segment, and I am pleased to have Noelle Andrews on the phone. She has written a new book. This is her first. It's called The Aftermath of Rock and Roll. And before you think that we're going in one direction, we may be, in fact, going in a little bit different direction. Noelle currently is a radiologist in the Midwest. She wrote this book because of a profound effect a relationship had on her, and she wants to get the word out to others who may be in that same situation. Noelle, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me.
Clearly a book about a relationship that's gone awry. And I'll let you kind of decide where you would like to begin with this particular part of your life, a big part of your life.
Well, let's see. I had been a single mother for a while. I had been divorced from my first husband, and I'll actually refer to him as my favorite ex-husband at this point, for about 6 years, and was lonely. I had dated a bit, but had always kind of felt like a checkbook. I obviously, as a physician, have considerable income. And I went online to try and find a man who had similar background and met up with a man who seemed quite wonderful. He literally swept me off my feet, proposed after a month, and we married after 4. And what happened after that was just a nightmare. It was a 16-month marriage in which time period he threatened my medical license. The divorce lasted longer than the marriage itself.
Wow.
And cost me about $250,000 for this 16-month marriage.
Oh, my golly. If you don't mind me asking, what age range were you when you first began with the ex-husband in question?
I was in my early 40s.
Correct me, I guess, if I'm off base. And I think this applies, Noelle, to males as well as females. Oftentimes, I think that a partner falls in love with an image, falls in love with a perception, with a possibility, as opposed to the real person. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I fell in love with a complete illusion. I strongly believe that my second ex-husband is what we would term a sociopath or a psychopath. And they are very, very good at listening to what their potential victim wants or needs them to be and faking it. They become whoever you need them to be, and they can be so romantic and mesmerizing. My ex-husband was literally, he was a rock star impersonator, so he was used to being on stage.
You're saying that in a literal sense. That's what he did. Okay.
That's what his job was. Mm-hmm. He would go up several times a month and get drunk on stage and pretend to be a famous rocker. But he was just the kind of guy who would walk through a room and heads would turn. He had that charisma. The French would call it je ne sais quoi. I mean, he was just fascinating, and I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. I strongly believe that my second ex-husband is a sociopath. Another accepted term is psychopath. Other people call it antisocial personality disorder, but the general characteristics are quite striking and universally present in all of these people. They have what is termed a low empathy, low conscience spectrum, and they use people. They use them until they're used up and no longer of value to them, and then they discard them. It's believed that up to 4% of the population has psychopathic traits, and so that tens of millions of them are out there.
In my own experiences in school, I think when I got to that chapter in psychology about sociopaths, that detachment from conscience, that detachment from guilt, that detachment from being connected to other people in a meaningful way, that seemed to me like the most scary thing I'd read because it's so real and it's so hard to determine.
Well, I really believe that conscience is what makes us truly human. These people treat others as if they were, my favorite analogy right now is a candy bar. And so they enjoy eating the candy bar, they enjoy tasting the candy bar, but when they're through with the candy bar, they discard the wrapper. They discard the person. They have no remorse, no sympathy, and they're really unable to form any sort of deep attachment to other people. When most people hear the term psychopath, they think of the axe murderer, the serial killers. And what most people don't realize is that most psychopaths fall well under the media and law radar. They are masquerading as normal, everyday people, and they victimize us one person at a time. And until you've been the victim of a psychopath, you have no idea what it's like. I literally, the experience almost killed me. I had health problems. I ended up with a mass in my chest. So I had a cancer scare and just was devastated for months, yeah. Like all the time. I had never had such a hard time in my life, and I'm a strong person. It's taken me a long time to recover from this.
Again, my guest today is Noelle Andrews, and she is actually Dr. Noelle Andrews. She's a radiologist in the Midwest. She's just written a book called The Aftermath of Rock and Roll. It details her experiences with her ex-husband, and we're talking about that experience now, and we hope that it's going to benefit other individuals who may be in this kind of situation. Oftentimes, it's female that's the victim, but not always. But clearly, anybody who's in this situation, the aftermath of Rock and Roll by Dr. Andrews, I'm sure, can be a benefit. If folks joined us late, you really began talking about a very whirlwind relationship, courtship, I should say, that began with a proposal pretty quickly and in a marriage pretty quickly, all well under 6 months. When did you start seeing some red flags?
Well, if I'm honest with myself, probably pretty early on, but it's amazing how much we are able to talk ourselves out of. I'm sure my intuition was dinging at me pretty constantly, and believe me, I had friends and family warning me, don't get engaged so quickly, don't get married so quickly, what's the rush?
Right.
Get a prenup. And I was so swept away that I ignored all of them, which was completely foolish. But I think most of the time, we so want to be in love. We want to believe that we found our soulmate. We allow our heart to override our head. But the warning signs were there. Typically, the psychopath, when they pick out a victim, will love bomb them. That's a great term. It's romantic shock and awe. You will have never had so much attention paid to you. You telephone calls and texts and emails and flowers and gifts, and they want to be with you constantly. And the time frame of the relationship is accelerated far above what a normal relationship should be. And within weeks, the love word is used. They'll want to move in or even get married quickly. And that in and of itself should be a red flag. Women should listen to their inner selves, their friends, their family, and reevaluate the relationship. There's no reason to rush.
I was wondering about how much did you know at all about his family?
Well, his family, I had only met one, seemed a little dysfunctional, but then most of ours are. I think what should have been a really big warning sign was that he really didn't have any close friends.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is such a telltale sign, especially if we're looking at somebody who is 40 years old and does not. That doesn't mean that you're a bad person if you don't have friends, but if you put that together with other things, that should be a sign. 40 years old, by golly, you should have accumulated some friends at that point.
Well, he has superficial acquaintances,
right,
of course,
right,
but
right.
Nobody that really was a confidant. And again, sociopaths don't form deep bonds or attachments with other people, so they really can't sustain a long-term friendship.
You are a radiologist. Obviously, you have a lot of educational background. You've been using the term psychopath and or sociopath to describe this individual. Did he ever, or do you know of an actual diagnosis, or is this just you kind of putting together the symptoms and the signs, and he kind of fits into that based on your personal experiences?
I know of no formal diagnosis. I've done a lot of research. Once I happened upon the term, soon after he was arrested in the foyer of my home, and then I had him removed by the sheriff's department as part of a civil protection order, I chanced upon the term psychopath, and things really started to click into place. And I
right.
have done extensive reading, and I am personally convinced that he fits the characteristics. But I can tell you, even mental health experts can be fooled.
Mm-hmm.
These people are usually quite intelligent and very engaging, and can get away with a lot of things that the rest of us can't. Very hard to get a formal diagnosis of psychopathy.
Where, as I guess you have already acknowledged, we would tend to overlook whether we're a buddy at work or whether we're somebody who's dating somebody like this.
Absolutely. I know. I was just so impressed by the name-dropping, the celebrities, just the way other people treated him, that the inconsistencies in his stories didn't seem to matter to me
mm-hmm.
at first.
Talk about domestic violence, because that comes in so many forms, Noelle, and obviously, some of that touched your life as well.
I, there were a couple of episodes. He threw a bottle at my head. He was drunk at a performance and missed, fortunately. And another time he was drunk. He grabbed me on the sidewalk in Las Vegas when the conversation we were having wasn't agreeable to him and shook me quite hard. But really, no hitting.
But only in the physical sense. But clearly, I know that there was aspects of emotional manipulation and some people may even say abuse.
Oh, sure. Yeah, since I know for a fact that he called my local state medical board 9 times with allegations of narcotics abuse and dealing. So I independently, by way of counsel, went and had drug tests performed periodically just to prove that I wasn't under the influence. But still, just devastating to a person who's worked her whole life towards a degree and a career, and then to have somebody with a grudge take it out on her. Yeah, and there's no repercussions. The reporting process to the state medical board is anonymous, so I cannot sue him for slander or defamation.
Right. It's taken a lot to get you unwrapped from this. Do you mind me asking how long are we from at least a legal detachment from this individual?
About 2 years.
And you said it's taken a long time to come back. Was the book something that was able to help the healing process, to get you on a different road, Noelle, one that you feel more healthy and stable with?
The book was originally written as a journal and a diary and turned into something after I started doing my research. Decided that if I could, I would try to help other women from making the mistakes that I made. But I'm by no means whole. I don't date, and I'm not sure I ever will.
And that's a direct result of this relationship, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, huge trust issues. And frankly, I would rather be lonely than ever risk going through what I went through.
Just a compelling story. And again, for folks that have been touched by this conversation, the book is called The Aftermath of Rock and Roll. The author is Noelle Andrews. Is any contact information, Noelle, you would like to give out?
Well, my book can be found on Amazon.com, and it's available paperback and on Kindle, and it can also be on BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm sure that this is going to reach other people and hopefully be an inspiration to get them out of whatever they may be facing. So thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Randy.